no voice. Visit worldwildlife.org.
Now it's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation.
What are you people? On dope?
Where you can toke.
I inhale frequently.
Or you can talk.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
Or you can toke and talk.
10 federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
While we talk about toke on Toker Talk Radio.
So by the way, when it comes to pot, you know, if you're 40 years old, you live in a log cabin in Oregon, you got 12 giant pot plants in your backyard, have a ball.
Live from beautiful Portland, Oregon at Rolla J Studios.
Cannabis.
Plus your calls live at 971-533-7111.
They're walking on their pants with their cap on backwards, listening to the Enema Man and Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Gateway theory doesn't work. It's a reality.
Holland, is it real? Don't tease me.
We're locking up people that take a couple of puffs of marijuana, and the next thing you know, they got 10 years.
And now, here's your host, the guru of ganja graphics, the sultan of sativa statistics, and the worst nightmare of a reefer mad prohibitionist. A polite, perspicacious, productive pothead with a propensity for PowerPoint. Radical Russ Belleville.
Welcome back, Tokers and Tokettes, for our final hour of 2015. Yeah, that's right. We're taking a two-week vacation, long, long overdue vacation. And we'll be back at the top of the year with plenty more new stuff to listen to. You may have heard some of the new liners that I've gotten recorded. Big thanks to Dan Michaels out there in Fargo. DanMichaelsAudio.com. He's the voice. He is my announcer voice, man. I love his voice. What a great voice he's got there. Just kind of feeling a little run down, you know, because after all, I'm a stoner sloth. I just got all that terrible, terrible slothiness going on. Can you hear the slothiness?
Delilah.
Yes.
Hands down, Delilah.
If you missed hour one, I'm talking about the Your Worse on Weed campaign coming out of the government of New South Wales in Australia. Your Worse on Weed, hashtag stoner sloth. It's the funniest damn thing. This is right up there with all the best 80s and 90s anti-pot ads, man. You got to check it out. You can go to stonersloth.com.au, you know, for Australia, if you want to see the videos. Poor Stoner Sloth. He's still bummed out that he missed out on the part of Chewbacca. That's why Stoner Sloth is so upset. Speaking of Chewbacca, anybody out there seen Star Wars yet? Seen the new Star Wars flick? It's across the street at the Roseway Theater, right outside of Rolla J Studios. They've got a noon matinee that I might take in tomorrow. That'll be a lot of fun. Looking forward to the new Star Wars stuff. But coming up on hour two here in the show, we got to talk about weed, marijuana, pot, ganja, herb. We're also going to talk about drugs. And I always like to make the point that marijuana is not a drug. Now, if you want to be, you know, pedantic about it, well, any substance that causes the human body to react in such a way and alters the mental state is a drug. Okay. But if you want to be that expansive about your definition of drug, you need to start understanding some things are drugs that you're not calling drugs, like sugar. Sugar is a drug. Oh my God, is sugar a drug? You don't think sugar's a drug? You don't think sugar's a drug? Send me your three-year-old kid. Let me give him some Mountain Dew and some candy, and let's see. Let's see how much the sugar kicks in. And the caffeine, of course, on the Mountain Dew, too, right? See, that's the thing, is that And I think I saw something about this, like a campaign that was coming up on Drug Policy Alliance, and I'll take a second look at it. But we need to make the point that we are a species that takes drugs. We are a drug-taking species. It's in our nature to take drugs. That it's as natural as urination, defecation, and sex, and crying, and orgasms, and everything, right? It's a natural function for us to want to get altered. You see it as early as 5-6 years old when little kids learn that they can spin around and get dizzy. They can find that they can alter their perception, their consciousness. And absolutely, sugar is addicting. Absolutely, sugar is harmful when abused. Absolutely, sugar changes your mental state. But see, the thing is that's not what, you know, the drug warriors, they want to have it both ways. They want to be able to say, well, marijuana is a drug because it causes a change, right? Even though we have an endocannabinoid system and all that, this drug really isn't changing anything. The molecule isn't really changing. It's activating our receptors in a way that our natural endocannabinoid system does as well. Not changing anything. Now, boosting something, sure. No, we're boosting what our endocannabinoid receptors do, but we're not changing anything. So marijuana, to me, belongs in a category. And typically, you know, when people think about this, they think about it as hard drugs and soft drugs, right? To me, marijuana and coca leaf and opium poppy and Amaretum muscaria mushrooms and ergot, right? All those kind of things. Those are plants or fungi or molds, right? Those are natural things. When mankind gets a hold of them and processes them and purifies them and alters them, now you've created a drug. So, marijuana's a plant, but concentrates are a drug. Coca leaf is a plant, but cocaine is a drug. Opium poppies are plants, but heroin is a drug. Ergot is a mold, or isn't it a mold? I think it is. But LSD is a drug. You get my point? It's like once we purify it for a specific purpose, now we've turned it into a drug. But the plants and the fungus and the molds and the naturally occurring substances are part of nature, as are we. Mankind isn't distinct from nature. We are a part of it. And those things evolved for a purpose.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
The son of a Polish immigrant who grew up in a Brooklyn tenement, he went to public schools, then college, where the work of his life began, fighting injustice and inequality, speaking truth to power. He moved to Vermont, won election and praise as one of America's best mayors. In Congress, he stood up for working families and for principle, opposing the Iraq War, supporting veterans. Now he's taking on Wall Street and a corrupt political system, funded by over a million contributions, tackling climate change to create clean energy jobs, fighting for living wages, equal pay, and tuition-free public colleges.
People are sick and tired of establishment politics, and they want real change.
Bernie Sanders, husband, father, grandfather, an honest leader, building a movement with you to give us a future to believe in.
I'm Bernie Sanders, and I approve this message.
Warning, hits taken on this show are larger than they appear. Do not try this at home. These people are professionals, or at least they pay me to say that. A public service message from CannabisRadio.com and the Russ Belville Show.
Great websites today need expert web design and development and need to be e-commerce ready and mobile friendly. But building a marketable and profitable website can be an uphill climb. Ready to make your new website or replace your existing website? Think Orange as the new way to get in the black. Orange Hill Development works with Fortune 500 companies and offer the same top quality development service at a fraction of what other providers charge. Brands like Absolute, Carlsberg, and Nestlé trust Orange Hill Development. Find out why you should trust your website with Orange Hill. Contact Orange Hill for a consultation today at orangehilldevelopment.com.
Welcome back, everyone. 12 after the hour here at Rolla J Studios in beautiful legal Potland, Oregon. Winding down here, 2015. Stay tuned later. Top of the hour, Stoner Jesus will be joining you. You shall be blessed. But it's not safe for work. Let me just warn you. If you're like, oh, Stoner Jesus, it's like a religious show. Well, yeah, kind of. It's hilarious. Check it out, Stoner Jesus at stonerjesus.net and here on cannabisradio.com. Also, coming up later tonight on 420radio.org, the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Herb's coming into the studio, and we've got 2 hours. His top metal picks for 2015. Herb's got his finger on the pulse of metal music like nobody else I know. And if you like it hard and fast, if you like it shredding and pounding, that sounds like Stoner Jesus' show. If you like it like that, tune in at 8 o'clock tonight, 11 o'clock Eastern time on 420radio.org. I'll be there co-hosting with Herb Thrasher for the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. And that reminds me, I need to, like, mention that again to folks, because, like, you may have been joining us for the shows and wondering, hey, what happened to the 20 after Daily Toker tunes? Well, what's going on? Why don't we get Herb Thrasher calling in? Why don't we get Electric Bob calling in, Gordon Green and all those guys? Well, the reason is because we are experiencing a divergence, a split, if you will. I'm moving over to CannabisRadio.com. And CannabisRadio.com is the home of all the internet's best marijuana talk radio shows, right? But I'm also the owner of 420radio.org. And I don't want to own and run a radio network, a talk radio network, to compete with the talk radio network that I'm now on. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense, right? But I also love 420radio.org because, number one, it's automated. Like, it costs me nothing. Well, I mean, there's some expenses. I've got bandwidth and all that stuff, right? But, I mean, effort-wise, it costs me nothing to run the thing. It's all automated script. It's all automated software. And then the people who make the shows, they just do them as podcasts, and those are automatically played, right? So why get rid of it? I mean, it's not costing me much to keep it running. So what we're doing, and I'm working with Herb Thrasher on this, and basically transitioning 420radio.org into an all music station. And we've already got an app for it. If you go out to the iTunes store or the Android store or Windows Phone or even BlackBerry, for God's sake, we've got an app out there. It's the Nobex Radio app that we just built for 420radio.org. So starting in January, it's going to be a 24-hour music stream, right? So if you're, you know, trimming or working or driving and you forgot your apostrophes, you can just turn on 420radio.org and get a steady stream of weed-related music and shows. So we'll still have the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. We'll still have Big Daddy Fink's Funky Roller Rink, Gordon Green's Music Planet, Electric Bob's Boogaloo, the new Viper Hour. We might bring Bacon Dan on for a new classic rock show. We might bring on Chuck Diesel for a new rapper hip-hop show. the possibilities are endless. And the goal is to evolve 420 Radio into being kind of the Muzak of dispensaries and hemp fests and events and all that, right? That anybody anywhere could just turn on the radio app and get weed-friendly music DJ'd by actual tokers. So that's what's happening. And if you're interested, if you'd like to have a music show, I mean, we could use a country show. We could use like a folk show would be awesome. If somebody knew about classical music, I'd put a classical music show on. And with all the shows, the music doesn't have to be specifically about weed. I'd like more than half of it to be about weed. Like 51% has to be, you know, gin and juice, you know, Snoop Dogg gin and juice, or, you know, all the weed songs that I play here on the network. But the other half could be songs about freedom or other drugs or drinking or partying or whatever that fits that kind of 420 vibe. So if you're interested in that, let me know. I'm RadicalRuss@gmail.com and I'll hook you up with Herb Thrasher and we can make it all happen. All right, let me bring you some drug news. We've got some drug news, some really good drug news. Remember Pharma Bro? Remember that guy? Martin Shkreli. Shkreli sounds like a bad guy in the Fantastic Four. But anyway, no, that's the Skrulls. Never mind. Martin Shkreli. You remember this dude, right? The whole country got upset at this guy because he is a hedge fund manager, dude. He was a hedge fund guy, and then he went and bought a pharmaceutical company, okay? And he made the news because he boosted the price of a drug called Daraprim. Daraprim is a drug that fights toxoplasmosis. Toxoplasmosis is a particular kind of parasite that a healthy person, you pretty much kick its ass, right? Your immune system kills it, right? But if you're not a healthy person, if you're a compromised person, if you got AIDS, and that's what most people that take Daraprim are taking, it is because they've got AIDS and then they get this toxoplasmosis, right? Toxoplasmosis, by the way, is why pregnant women shouldn't handle cat feces. Not like you're going to be juggling cat turds or anything, but, you know, changing litter boxes and stuff, because cats transmit toxoplasmosis, right? So AIDS patients get this toxoplasmosis and then they take this pill, Daraprim. It's like the only drug that fights this toxoplasmosis, right? The company that originally made it in like 1952. It's an old drug, and made it and sold it for about $1 a pill. And so great, you're just helping people for $1 a pill. Now, a few years ago, a different pharmaceutical company bought the rights to Daraprim and they jacked up the price. They jacked it up from $1 a pill to $13.50 a pill.
I can't do reefer comedy. I'm drunk. Two different animals.
Now, it's 20 after, so we have to take our mandated safety briefing. When we come back, we'll tell you just how Martin Shkreli pissed off the whole nation and how he just got his comeuppance. Oh, I love this story. We're back right after this. Happy 420 on the West Coast.
Imagine life without taxes. Let New Era Certified Public Accountants, NewEraCPAs.com, handle your Cannabis 280E and tax strategy. Get your business prepared with New Era CPAs Cannabis Finance Bootcamp. NewEraCPAs.com, with years of experience in the industry, we are one of the nation's leading accounting firms for growers, dispensaries, and ancillary companies from Washington to California. NewEraCPAs.com.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
They're bringing drugs. They're bringing crime. They're rapists. And some, I assume, are good people.
Okay. Maybe you're high, too.
Russ Belville Show is proudly sponsored by the Marijuana Business Association. The MJBA, called by NBC News the Cannabis Chamber of Commerce, is the fastest growing business association in the fastest growing industry in America. I've been working with the MJBA for years, and I personally invite you to join the MJBA. MJBA also publishes the popular MJ Headline News on Facebook and the MJNewsNetwork.com, and Marijuana Channel 1 on YouTube. Visit MJBA.net for more details.
At midnight, July 1st, 2015, adult marijuana prohibition came to an end in Oregon. Immediately, over 400,000 adults who consume cannabis responsibly were no longer criminals. This is what freedom sounds like. Brought to you by Portland Normal.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
I do not like them, Sam. I am. I do not like green eggs and ham.
Okay. Maybe you're high, too.
Dr. Dabber, hurry. Its temperature is shooting past 1,000 degrees Fahrenheit. It's burning up.
I'm afraid for this little guy, it's just too late.
What caused the problem?
Only Dr. Dabber can maintain the perfect temperature for a smooth-tasting, slower burn. This standard vaporizer lost all of its health benefits, sending it up in smoke.
So you're telling me that most vapor pens burn so hot they produce smoke, not vapor?
Correct. Keep away from those standard vaporizer pens and turn to Dr. Dabber. Doctor's orders.
Less heat, more flavor.
All right, welcome back, everyone. 24 after the hour. Hope you had a good 420 break. Before we went on break, we were talking about Martin Shkreli. Martin Shkreli, now this drug Daraprim for AIDS patients who are suffering from toxoplasmosis, originally sold for $1 a pill. Another company bought it, jacked the price up to $13.50 a pill. But that's not when you heard the outrage. I mean, right off the bat, right there, you ought to think, well, wait a minute, going from $1 to $13.50, what the hell? But no, that wasn't it. Martin Shkreli this year, this was back in September, bought the rights from that other company for this drug, Daraprim, and jacked the price up from $13.50 to $750 a pill. What? Yeah, $750 a pill. Just unconscionable, right? And then when he was called on it, he made some excuses about, well, we need the money for research and we want to have better drugs for these people and it wouldn't really affect them because it would be the insurance companies paying it and the hospitals and blah, 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 just bullshit, bullshit, bullshit. This guy, 32-year-old guy, already richer in hell, right? More money than I'm ever going to see in my life. Swimming in dough. This is the guy, by the way, Shkreli was the guy who bought the new Wu-Tang album for $2 million. Did you hear that story? Yeah, the Wu-Tang Clan rap group, right? With like, you know, 70, 80 members. I don't know. They got a lot of guys. It's not 70 or 80. But anyway, Wu-Tang Clan, which by the way, ain't nothing to fuck with. The Wu-Tang Clan recorded this album and literally this album, they recorded an album of which there is just one. There's one album. That's it. No other pressings, no other recordings, no MP3s, no downloads, one copy. And, you know, this is a big stunt. Like, we're going to make this one album and it's just this legendary stuff. And who's going to buy it? And so somebody bought it for $2 million. And for a few weeks, it was like, who bought the album? Nobody knows who bought the. It was Shkreli. Martin Shkreli. So here's a guy who can drop two large. What, two large is 2,000, right? What do you call million? Two, no? I don't know. Guy can drop $2 million on an album. This guy doesn't need to raise the price of an AIDS drug to $750 a pill. He's got enough money. This is one of the things about America that kind of just, it irks me, right? I love our capitalist system. I love that people can work hard and get ahead, generally speaking, with a whole lot of caveats, and especially if you're not white or male, but I know. But, you know, it's kind of like, what was it, Churchill who said democracy was the worst option for government except for all the others? Well, capitalism's the worst option for economies except for all the others, right? The same idea applies. I love that. I love that we have this system where we can work hard and succeed and get ahead and own our own businesses and engage in commerce and all that. I love it. I love it. I love it. But there's got to be a point where you just got too much money. You're just a greedy bastard, and your greed is becoming a problem for the rest of us. You know that thing when they talk about civil rights, and they say, well, your right to swing your fist ends where my nose begins, right? This idea that, yeah, you have rights until your rights start to infringe on others. Well, why does that not apply economically? There's a point at which your greed starts to affect others in a very, very bad fashion. Now, it used to be, there was this government, you see, that would tax the rich, kind of redistribute some of that wealth. Hell, back in the Eisenhower administration, back in the 50s, the top marginal tax rate on rich folks was 91%. And we had this collective feeling in America, like, you know what's a bad idea is if, like, there's only a few people with a whole shit ton of money. That's a bad idea. You know, yes, people should be able to get rich, but not to the point where they make it impossible for other people to get rich. And government kind of acted like this counterbalance. You know, it's like when I think of an economy and a society, I think of it like an organism, right? It wants to reproduce and thrive. It wants to consume so it can reproduce and thrive. It's an organism. But what happens when you let, say, the bunny rabbits reproduce without any natural predators to cull them down a bit, right? Well, I'll tell you what happens in Eastern Oregon or Eastern Idaho. Back when I was a kid, we used to have bunny bashing. I know this sounds awful, but really, they would gather together dozens and dozens and dozens of people of all ages with baseball bats and clubs to run through the fields and kill bunnies. Smack them in the head and kill them. Kill as many as you can. Because they're just an infestation. There was just thousands and thousands and millions of rabbits. And what are you going to do? Can't poison them because other critters would eat the poison. So, yeah, look it up. Google it, man. This was a thing in Idaho. Bunny bashing. This is not a snipe hunt. This is for real. So I think of that when it comes to an economy, when it comes to a society, right? If the bunnies have no wolves, eventually the bunnies eat everything up and they fuck a lot and they create more bunnies and they eat a lot and they fuck a lot. And before you know it, you're overrun with bunnies. And eventually the bunnies eat themselves out of existence because there's nothing left to eat, right? Bad for everybody. Well, I think of that bunny bashing and I think of that phenomenon when I think of capitalism and corporations, right? It's great to have corporations. Just like bunnies are nice and fluffy and wonderful. But there's a point where if there's not a natural predator out there that prevents these things from growing and growing and growing in scope and size, then it becomes harmful to the environment and everything else around. That's the way I always thought of the balance in our politics. And that's also where left and right come in, Democrat and Republican come in for me. Is that the Democrats were the ones that were on the government side and, you know, curbing the excesses of business. And the Republicans were the ones that were on the business side curbing the excesses of government, right? Don't let government get too regulatory or too spying on us. And then that's the Republicans' job. And the Democrats' job is don't let business get too big and too rich and start running our country. But somewhere around 1980... The Republican side kind of won and installed these themes in our minds of government's evil. The worst nine words in the English language. I'm from the government. And I'm here to help you. Tell that to someone sitting on a roof in the Hurricane Katrina, right? They would have loved to have seen their government come to help them, Ronnie. But this idea came that government was evil. It was bad. It was the enemy. And business in and of itself per se was good. Anything about business was good. It was all good. And then that won elections long enough that when Bill Clinton came around, the guy who was on the Democrat side, the side that curbs those excesses of business, he was more interested in winning elections and kind of triangulated to the middle. And we got that new Democratic DNC kind of thing where now both of the parties are on that corporate side. And nobody's standing for the government to be the brakes on this economy or this system. They're both over there on that side, and we're out of balance. Anyway, I went on that long tangent. Sorry about that. Went on that long tangent because we're talking about this Martin Shkreli guy. Some good weed today, folks. But by the way, the weed today is Northern Wreck. It's a Northern Lights train wreck hybrid tested out at 27% THC. So that's your tangent today, brought to you by Northern Wreck, courtesy of, where did I buy this one? I bought this one at Nectar on Sandy. Anyway, Shkreli today was arrested and indicted by the Securities and Exchange Commission for security fraud. The U.S. attorney alleges that the 32-year-old Shkreli used profits from his old firm, his old firm Retrofin, as a personal piggy bank to pay investors in his hedge fund. So Martin Shkreli may end up going to prison, where he can listen to his Wu-Tang album over and over and over and over again. Doesn't that feel good, man? Sometimes there is karma. Sometimes there is justice. And this picture, it's in the New York Post of Shkreli. He's in a gray hoodie. And yeah, let's hope this guy does some serious time. Oh, and by the way, not wishing that he's raped in prison. Here's another tangent. Folks, please stop that stuff with the jokes about, oh, he's going to get a foot long. You know, Jared from Subway, he's going to get a foot long in prison. Let's stop making a joke about that. Prison, nothing funny about prison rape. And considering how so many cannabis consumers and cultivators end up going to prison, it's nothing funny about it. So let's stop joking about that. All right. Coming up, I want to get into some more of the marijuana news. We're going to talk about some of the news stories that we spoke about earlier in the headlines, particularly this Postal Service directive that says we can't advertise for marijuana or marijuana-related items and send those periodicals through the mail. How is that going to affect things? And speaking of periodicals, the latest edition of the Oregon Cannabis Connection is out, the December-January issue, Volume 6, Issue 6. This is basically the newspaper for the Oregon cannabis community. And there I am on the cover of the Oregon Cannabis Connection, the Radical Russ Belville interview. It's right there in the Oregon Cannabis Connection. Pick one up at your local Oregon dispensary. Also, I want to talk a little bit about the Warm Springs tribe here in Oregon, which has voted to begin cultivating marijuana and selling it at their own stores. Good news, more good news, especially considering I believe the Warm Springs tribe might be smack dab in the middle of one of those areas that wants to ban marijuana. So we'll see how that works out. We're also sitting here with an open phone line at 971-533-7111. As always, if you have comments, concerns, questions, just let me know. 971-533-7111. My Boise State Broncos playing in the Poinsettia Bowl this Wednesday against the Northern Illinois Huskies. Should be a good game. Looking forward to it. don't know if I'll be watching it from Idaho or from Oregon, but it'll be a good one. We're back right after this short break. Stay tuned.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
The Russ Belville Show, providing dictionaries to drug czars since 2009.
You know Herb Thrasher from the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Now get ready for Herb Age Designs for the proud cannabis consumer. Herb Age Designs, lifestyle gear for the 420 friendly. Herb Age Designs, we've got frisbee golf discs and durable hemp gear. Herb Age Designs, we've got shot glasses, drinking glasses, coffee mugs, and beer cozies. Check us out on Facebook and online at herbagedesigns.com. And follow Herb Age and Herb Thrasher on Twitter.
It's time for Cannabis Facts about teen drug use from Robert Platschorn's thesilvertour.org. This message is supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to lead America's hemp revolution at hempinc.com. A recent survey by the U.S. Centers for Disease Control indicates that in states that have legalized medical marijuana, the rate of marijuana consumption among high school students has not increased. In fact, in legal states like Colorado, teen use has actually decreased significantly. It's simply no longer a big deal for teenagers in legal states. This was Cannabis Facts from thesilvertour.org, an educational nonprofit supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to lead America's hemp revolution at hempinc.com.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
I said, on this program, what do they want? My grandchildren and the monster. Did I scare you?
Okay. Maybe you're high, too.
Gondrepreneur.com, your guide to the cannabis business world. Gondrepreneur.com is a comprehensive resource for cannabis professionals and entrepreneurs. Download the Gondrepreneur app on your smartphone or tablet to catch up on cannabis industry news, scroll through our daily job listings, and learn about successful cannabis companies, executives, and investors. Gondrepreneur.com, helping gondrepreneurs grow.
Welcome back, everyone. 40 after the hour. I'm Radical Russ here at Rolla J Studios in beautiful legal Potland, Oregon. Looking forward to Marijuana Election Night 2016. It'll be my fifth straight coverage of Marijuana Election Night, and there could be five different states lined up or more. In addition to California, Massachusetts, Maine, Arizona, and Nevada, we could also get Ohio again. Sorry, Ian James, the guy who put together the much-lambasted Ohio Issue 3, vows to come back in 2016 with what he termed the most free market marijuana legalization ever. We'll see what happens. He's a guy got the money. And if you've got money, you can pay for signatures and you can get on the ballot. So we'll see how that turns out. Would love for that to happen. Also, we might get medical marijuana again in Florida, working to make the ballot. And that's John Morgan, another guy with some money. He could make that happen. Then there's a shot at Vermont. Vermont has Vermont has a bill in its legislature to legalize marijuana. And then we've got Rhode Island, is another state that might legalize through the legislature. And then Missouri might have an outside chance at a medical marijuana initiative. And Michigan still has a couple of groups putting together marijuana legalization. So who knows, man? We get Florida, Ohio, Missouri, Michigan. We could have another four states. We could have nine states voting by 2016. Well, actually, and then the Vermont and Rhode Island, they would be legislative, so there'd be no vote. But my goodness, it's happening fast, isn't it, people? Remember 2010? Remember losing Prop 19 and just how down we felt? It was like 46%. We lost in California. Oh, shit, if we can't legalize California, what are we going to do? It's just amazing how far we've come. And to this point, some folks are going to just have to understand better how the politics of these things work. I was glad to talk to Mason Tvert today because he brought up a point that too few people understand, is that you have to get things passed. And in politics, sometimes you have to make these sacrifices or compromises to get things passed. I don't like that Nevada is going to have a no home grow halo. But having that means that some people will get to grow that didn't get to grow before. It does make it better at some level, doesn't it? And at this point, my baseline is Washington's I-502. Washington's I-502 was the most politically compromised legalization to date. And the argument behind that was that it was, you know, it was 2012. We had just lost legalization 2 years prior. The polls were showing bare support for legalization. 52, 53, not, you know, really promising stuff when you're talking about something so new and something so controversial. And they do this polling, folks, and it doesn't get released. This is the other thing. And sometimes I wish it would get released. I understand why they don't release it, but it would help our side. It would help our activists understand a little better why these things happen, because they can do real detailed polling and say, if legalization had home grow in it, would that change your opinion of the measure? Yes or no. And then how many points would you lose from that? If this measure had no per se DUID, would that change your opinion of it? And then they'll see how many points they get from it. And they do the calculations. They go, well, shit, if we put home grow in there and don't do something about stone drivers, this thing that only has 50, 52, 51% in the polls could fail. And then it passed, right? It passed by 55%. And that's what a lot of people in the activism side said, well, see, you didn't have to give up home grow and per se and put a per se in there. See, it passed by 5%. Well, yeah, it passed by 5% with a per se DUID and no home grow in it. Would not having those things have cost it 5 points and made it lose? It's hard to tell. Well, they'll return, well, Colorado passed it by 55 and they had home grow and no per se DUID. Right, in Colorado. Apples and oranges, folks, when it comes to the politics and the state and everything that's going on there. Colorado had Mason Tvert down there since, what, 2004-ish? Pushing Denver low priority, Denver decrim, Denver legalization, Colorado legalization that failed, another initiative here. I don't remember how many he did down there. So the issue had been brought up time and time and time and time again in the legitimate political theater. So that when they got to the point of Amendment 64, passing it by 55%, they're ready to understand that you don't need a DUID. In fact, they had been battling that per se DUID that the legislature had been trying to put in. So they'd had that conversation too. And so, yeah, the people were ready to pass it by that. So you can't compare Colorado's 55 to Washington's 55. Washington's a different state. Washington is King County and then a whole bunch of everybody else. And so you have to do things differently there. But 502 to me now is the baseline. 502 is the baseline. If legalization is better than I-502, you got to vote for it. Because if 502 is your baseline, let's take a look at all the great things that have happened because of 502. The price of marijuana has collapsed in Washington State. I checked the prices on Weed Maps the other day. The dispensaries in Seattle are selling ounces anywhere from $240 to $280. Or I should say the pot shops, right? From $240 to $280. But across the river here in Vancouver, Washington, at Main Street Marijuana, the best-selling weed store in the state, I can get a half ounce for $60. It's going $60 to $75. You want to go to the top shelf, you can get your $75 half ounce. That works out to $150 an ounce. That's phenomenal. And legalization in Washington State, even without home grow, even with a per se DYD, has resulted in 2 out of 3 people who would have been busted before not getting busted, not getting charged. And 4 out of 5 not getting convicted compared to the before legalization. And even with that awful per se DYD, we haven't seen a massive increase in per se DYDs. So you got 502 as your baseline, the worst legalization, and it's still kicking ass. It's still wonderful. So if there's a legalization on the ballot or coming on the ballot that's better than 502, the results are going to be even better than 502s. And I already pointed out earlier how there's so many new things in these legalizations that eclipse what we've done in the first few states. Protection for employment, protection for housing, protection for education, protection for child custody, pot lounges, deliveries. It just keeps getting better and better. Now, there is this thread running through the marijuana movement, though, that is very anti this legalization. There are the stoners against legalization in every state who are complaining because it's being taken over by big marijuana or big money, or there's more restrictions, or there's laws we have to follow and licenses now, and it's all about making money, and what about free the weed and let everybody smoke and blah, blah, blah. All the hippy-dippy sentiment, right? There's a lot of that out there. And part of it, I believe, stems from the fact that since marijuana's been prohibited for so long, since we've been outlaws for so long, it's been encoded in our DNA to distrust regulation, to distrust law, to distrust the system, to distrust the man. We're just filled with distrust in all of our systems that now we're invited to become a part of. And for some people, I think they don't see marijuana as a thing. They don't see marijuana as a commodity, as a good. They ascribe to it more. They ascribe to it, you know, deific qualities. That somehow the legalization of marijuana is supposed to solve, I don't know, racism and solve hunger and solve like all the ills of the world. It's that healing of the nations, man. That theory, this idea, that somehow legalizing weed was supposed to end poverty. Somehow legalizing weed was supposed to end racism. Well, no. Here's what legalizing weed does. It ends the arrests of people who are using weed. Don't ascribe to it any more than that, because that's what it's about. It's not about saving our economy. Now, yeah, legalizing weed creates a whole bunch of new jobs, new businesses, tax revenue. But that's not its job. That's a benefit we're getting from it. Legalizing weed's not about the money. Now, there are people making money on it. That's great. That's the side effect of legalizing. But whether or not legalization comes with guys making money, or legalization are hippies sitting in a field, it's the ending of the arrest that's important. It's the civil rights aspect that's important here. Let the money people make money. Why not? What's the problem? I wasn't dealing weed when it was illegal. I'm not going to be dealing weed when it's legal. You know, just live your life. But what's happened is some people live their life means living their life in the prohibited market. Living a farmer's work from home lifestyle, but making a drug dealer's profits. And legalization ends that. Legalization takes away the only magical quality of marijuana. The magical quality being that it costs far more than it's really worth. It's a weed. It can be grown agriculturally in huge crops. There's no reason it should cost $300 an ounce. I guess I should rephrase that, because of course weed's got magical qualities as far as medicine and healing and all that stuff. That's not what I mean. I mean magical in the sense of ridiculous or unexpected, okay? Absurd is where really a better word that I was going for. That's the absurd quality of marijuana. But when we legalize, that absurd quality goes away. It no longer becomes worth that much. It becomes another agricultural consumer good. And in that, it becomes another boring job. It becomes another, you know, who's excited about working at the potato plant? Anyone? Well, that's what weed becomes. You're working at the weed plant. You're working at the weed store. It just becomes farming. It just becomes a retail store. Now, yeah, it's a retail store you can enjoy. It's a farming life you can love because of all the good that weed does for people and how much you enjoy it yourself and all of that. Just as I imagine an alfalfa farmer in Nebraska might have that feeling about alfalfa.
All right, folks, in our government at work today, we're
That's not supposed to happen.
U.S. Representative Jared
I'm Mills. Interrupting myself. That's so weird when that happens. But that's reminding me that we got to get off the air because Stoner Jesus is coming up. So let's just wind things up here. So we give him 5 minutes to get on the air. Thanks for sticking with me here on the last day of our 2015 presentation. We'll be back in January, first Monday of January, whatever day that is. Guess that's, we'll be back January 4th. It's the first Monday in January. So we'll see you January 4th. For everyone at CannabisRadio.com, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. We love each and every one of you, some of you more than others, but all of you just a little bit. You can always contact me, RadicalRuss@gmail.com, and every other social media that's out there. Big thanks to Dan Michaels for the new audio. Shout out to my brother, Matty Kachu, who's missing a third of his colon now. That's the damnedest thing. Happy holidays, everyone. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.
Introducing the YMCA. Sure, you know the Y for a swim or a game of hoops, but we're more than that. We're a cause. When you take a jump shot at the Y, someone else is getting job training. Practice yoga as a team practices her leadership skills. We give people of all ages, incomes, and backgrounds a chance to learn, grow, and thrive. So while you might think of the Y as the place for lifting weights, we're also about lifting entire communities. That's the Y. We're so much more. Visit ymca.net/more.
6 months from now, I'm gonna be a dad. So there's one thing I want to change about me right now. I've tried before, but this time, I'll do it for me and the baby. I'll quit smoking for good.
All right, folks, in our government at work today, we're pleased to be joined by U.S. Representative Jared Polis, a Democrat from Colorado. Representative Polis, welcome to the show.
It's a pleasure to be on.
You were elected in 2008, and you just won re-election in 2010, but you haven't been shy about calling for a need for marijuana law reform. I got to meet you in person out there at KushCon in Denver. How has your stance on marijuana reform affected your interactions with your colleagues in the House?
You know, what a great event that KushCon was as well. Just a very successful trade show. It's exciting to see all the jobs and the companies that are being created in this sector. I find that a lot of members of Congress privately agree that we need to change our drug policy. They're just still too timid or scared to come public with it. And that's kind of what I find. I find very few that are kind of hardcore on the other side.
Okay. And looking forward to work in the United States Congress as far as marijuana law reform goes is kind of troubling sometimes at best for us in the reform community, because we know how slow the gears grind there up on Capitol Hill. Representative Barney Frank and Representative Ron Paul have been longtime stalwarts for reform in various arenas, from industrial hemp to medical marijuana. Have you been working with those representatives, and do you have any plans to introduce federal legislation?
Yes, we really have a growing group of representatives that support decriminalization at the federal level and changing the schedule of marijuana substance. So it's not a majority yet, but it's growing rather than shrinking. One of the things that I'm working on the political front is fearlesscampaign.org. And if you go to fearlesscampaign.org, you can sign up. We're basically creating a grassroots movement towards changing our federal drug laws in one of the areas. It's fearlesscampaign.org/marijuana.
Excellent, excellent. Now, you, of course, representing the state of Colorado, we talked about the KushCon event that happened there in Denver. A lot of people, you know, around the country may not realize that it's Denver and not Los Angeles or any place in California that has the most marijuana dispensaries per capita, I believe. So coming from an area that has so embraced the medical marijuana, what are you telling your fellow legislators on Capitol Hill as far as what they can expect from medical marijuana in their state?
Well, they can expect jobs, they can expect reduced crime, they can expect increased tax revenues, so they can expect to reduce suffering of patients. So that's the type of things that they can expect. When Colorado voters overwhelmingly passed a medical marijuana law, the legislature took their responsibility very seriously and passed laws to implement that. So there's a very, it's far from perfect, but compared to where other states are, there's a decent regulatory structure here, and there's a specific rules that the marijuana dispensaries have to play by, and it's really enabled them to grow and flourish in the communities that allow them. We've had some communities that exercise their local discretion have chosen not to allow those kinds of businesses as well.
Now, recently, some of those regulations that have been passed in Colorado include a Senate Bill 1284 that came up with a lot of these new regulations for dispensaries. How do you see these regulations playing out in Colorado? And